So, good afternoon. Today and tomorrow, NATO's defense ministers will address a wide range of important security issues. We will start by addressing Russia's violation of the INF treaty and NATO responses. Russia still has the opportunity to save the INF treaty. There is a window of opportunity. The deadline ends on the 2nd of August, and we continue to call on Russia to come back into compliance with the treaty. If they don't come back into compliance, we need to respond, so we also need to prepare for a world without the INF treaty. We will also, at our meeting, address the progress we are making on burden sharing. I will share with the ministers our latest figures, the new figures for 2019, and they show that across Europe and Canada there is a real increase in defense spending of 3.9%. This comes on top of the increase we have seen over the last years, meaning that we now have five consecutive years of a real increase in defense spending across Europe and Canada. This is good progress. We have to make sure that this progress continues. We will also address and discuss how we can continue to modernize the alliance, including our deterrence and defense, space policy, adaptive first ever framework for NATO's space policy, and also issues related to technology, disruptive emerging technologies, and NATO's way to handle the challenges we see related to that. We will also meet our Russia support partners, the partners that are together with us in Afghanistan. We are closer to a peace deal now than we have ever been before in Afghanistan, and all NATO allies strongly support the peace efforts. And the best way to do that is to continue to stay committed to Afghanistan, to continue to provide political support, but also to continue to support the Afghan army and security forces with trainers and with funding. And with that, I'm ready to take your questions.
Secretary General Long Crook, Associated Press. The citizens of NATO nations have been led to understand that the SSC-8 poses a very serious threat, and we would understand that that would require a very serious response as well from NATO. A lot of taxpayer money has been invested in NATO's ballistic missile defense system. Wouldn't that be the ideal kind of system to use in response? Can you rule out that this would be used?
The deployment of the SSC-8, the Russian missiles, is a very serious issue because these missiles are capable of carrying nuclear warheads. They can reach European cities within minutes. They are hard to detect, mobile, and therefore also they reduce the warning time and also the threshold of any potential use of nuclear weapons in an armed conflict. And these new missiles, the new Russian missiles, they violate the INF Treaty, which has been a cornerstone for arms control for decades. And that's the reason why it is so extremely serious that Russia is deploying new missiles in clear violation of this treaty, putting the whole treaty in jeopardy. And that's also the reason why we continue to call on Russia to come back into compliance. And there is still a possibility to save the treaty because the deadline which has been set is the 2nd of August. Time is running out, and the likelihood for Russia coming back into compliance is, of course, going down every day they don't come back into compliance. And so far we haven't seen any real intention or any change in behavior from Russia indicating that they are going to come back into compliance. We will continue to call on them to respect the treaty. We're also planning a meeting of the NATO-Russia Council in the near future to be able to address this issue directly with Russia once again. If they don't come back into compliance, then we need to respond. And we will discuss NATO's potential measures at this defense ministerial meeting. But of course, we will not start to implement any of those responses until the 2nd of August. So we are preparing, we are discussing, we are considering different measures. And then we will continue to call on Russia to save the treaty. If they don't do so, we will then respond.
Can you hear me? Yes, Brooke Senior Jane's Defense Weekly. Let me reconfigure my colleague's question. NATO has spent billions on a ballistic missile defense system to confront missile threats emanating from the southeast of Europe, as we all know, from Iran and other places in that region. But if circumstances change, if relations deteriorate to the point with Russia, and if it's necessary, can that system's software and radars be reconfigured to deal with the growing Russian missile threat? Thank you.
I accept that you ask questions about what concrete NATO will do if Russia doesn't come back into compliance. But I will not preempt the outcome of the discussion we will have today and tomorrow. And second, I will not now tell you exactly what we will do, because we are still focused on how we can get Russia back into compliance. And then the deadline is the 2nd of August. So I look forward to the discussion with ministers today. We will consider different measures. NATO has a wide range of potential different measures that we can implement if Russia doesn't come back into compliance. But as I said, first of all, we need the discussion among ministers today. And second, we continue to call on Russia to come back into compliance. If they don't do that, we will then implement measures. Some of them we can implement quickly. Some will take more time. And there will be different measures, because we have seen a strong unity among all allies on this issue. In the message to Russia that they are violating the treaty, that they have to come back into compliance, and also in our support for the very clear U.S. position that it has to have consequences when Russia is violating an arms control agreement.
About your space policy, are you triggering an arms race in space?
No, what we are doing is that we, for the first time, are going to agree a framework for NATO space policy. We are not planning to militarize the space, but space is already extremely important for what is going on the ground, for communications, for navigation, for tracking forces, for early warning of missile launches, GPS, all that is about space and satellites. And therefore, we need to make sure that we coordinate the efforts of NATO allies, that we develop joint efforts on how to work together to see both the potentials to work even more closer together, but also to address potential threats to different communication satellites and other capabilities which are important and which are in space today, not deployed by NATO, but by NATO allies.
Good morning. Nordin Fridi from Al Arabiya News Channel. The Iranian official announced that by tomorrow they will speed up the enrichment of uranium activities. Plus, on July 7, they may reduce their commitment according to the nuclear deal. This is on one hand. On the other hand, you have the military escalation in the Gulf. How worried are you that the region is going to ahead of a military confrontation, and how to deal with both on the military escalation and the nuclear deal, which is in danger?
So all allies are concerned about Iran's destabilizing activities in the region, its support for terrorist groups, its missiles program, and all allies agree that Iran should not develop nuclear weapons. And therefore, I also think it is extremely important, a clear message from the United States, that they are ready to sit down with Iran and talk and to try to reduce tensions, because we need to avoid escalation, we need to avoid miscalculations in the Gulf, in the region, because we have seen that it is important to avoid us moving into a situation that can become even more dangerous and more difficult than the situation we see today. So allies, Iran is not formally on the NATO agenda or the agenda for this defense ministerial meeting, but I expect that it will be discussed, also because I expect that Secretary Esper of the United States will brief and update allies, so they will have an opportunity to discuss the situation in the Gulf, which is, of course, important for all NATO allies.
Thank you. Mustafa Sabar from Radio Free Europe. Mr. Secretary General, can any Taliban promise that the Afghan soil will not be used by the terrorist groups in the future be trusted, monitorable and verifiable, given the fact that the group had hosted the founder of Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden, in the 90s in Afghanistan? And as we speak, we are receiving reports that two U.S. Soldiers were killed in eastern Afghanistan in a Taliban ambush. How will that impact the new round of talks? Thank you.
First, I think we all should welcome the fact that there are talks, because after years with actually no real peace process, we have seen over the last months that there are a real process taking place, a real process is taking place, and there are talks between Taliban and the United States. These talks are the only way to peace, and Ambassador Khalid Saad, the U.S. Negotiator, is consulting closely with all NATO allies. He has been here at the NATO headquarters many times, and he will continue to consult closely with allies, because roughly half of the troops in the rescue support mission are non-US troops. So this is US, but also many other NATO allies and partners which are present in Afghanistan. Then, of course, one of the important aspects of any potential peace deal will be how can we have mechanisms in place to make sure that it is respected, implemented, verifiable. And therefore, it's no easy way to peace, but we need a political solution. We need a negotiated solution. For NATO, the best way to support those peace efforts is to provide train, assist and advise support to the Afghan army security forces, because Taliban has to understand that they will never win on the battlefield. They have to sit down at the negotiating table. Then we NATO allies, the United States, other NATO allies and partners still suffer casualties. And I express my condolences to all those who have lost their loved ones, family members, and that just underpins the message of peace, that we are still witnessing casualties among Afghans, but also, of course, among NATO troops.